Love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. We pick it up at chapter 18 in Genesis, beginning at verse 1, and this really is good news. The Lord Yahweh appeared to Abraham. He visibly appeared to Abraham. And you notice his name is now Abraham, not Abram, okay? Abram, an exalted father. We missed it, but in between, the Lord changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many, okay? He was near the great tree of Mamre. That was named after one of Abram's allies. And if you remember, that's where they offered sacrifices to false gods. False god, but Abraham offered sacrifice to Yahweh. And he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. So it's early in the afternoon. Verse 2, Abraham looked up and he saw three men standing nearby. He doesn't recognize that they're angelic beings yet, okay? When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance to his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. Hospitality is very important in the Middle East. And obviously Abraham is very hospitable. He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, and Lord here is not referring to God, it's just a polite title, all right? Do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. You remember when Jesus was at the Pharisee's house and they didn't bring water for his feet? It goes back to Abraham, okay? And the Pharisees didn't do this for Jesus. So you can see why he was offended, okay? And this is just something you would do at this time. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah, his wife, and he said, quick, he said, get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread. And this would have been thin, round bread. It looked kind of like pita bread for us. But use the finest flour, okay? Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant. So he wasn't just throwing anything out there for these three men, okay? He then brought some curds and milk, and the call that had been, and the calf that had been prepared. And by the way, there's no refrigeration, so he's sparing no expense for these three visitors, okay? The calf needs to be eaten, otherwise it'll go bad. And he set it before them, and while they ate, he stood near them under a tree like a servant. A servant wouldn't sit and eat with them. He'd stand by and make sure they had everything they needed. The question is, though, who are these three visitors? Matthew Henry said, God graciously visits those in whom he has first raised the expectation of him, and manifest himself to those that wait for him. When Abraham was thus sitting, he saw three men coming towards him. These men were three spiritual heavenly beings, now assuming human bodies, that they might be visible to Abraham and conversable with him. Some think that they were all created angels, others that one of them was the Son of God, the angel of the covenant, whom Abraham distinguished from the rest in verse 3, and it was called Jehovah or Yahweh. And Martin Luther says, this appearance of the three men is an appearance of the Lord. And while Abraham receives them with hospitality, he is receiving the Lord himself. I believe that two of the visitors were angels. And later on they go to Sodom. The third visitor, I believe, is the Son of God. Or Jesus before he was born of Mary. All right. And you remember in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Doesn't it make more sense now? Okay. So did Abram realize this at the time? Probably not. No. Okay. Not at first. But his custom and way of life was to be hospitable to all people. Are we hospitable to all people? Not all the time, huh? Hebrews 13:2. Once again, the author of Hebrews is referring back to this. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, Some people have entertained angels without knowing it. And that happens even today, all right? But why did God appear to Abram? Why did he see this visibly, three people coming, and one of them was the Son of Man? I believe it's because Abraham desired God. He wanted God. Out of all the people on the earth, he's the one who sought God. Matthew Henry says, "Those that would have communion with God must earnestly desire it and pray for it. God is a guest worth entertaining." Earnestly desire it and pray for it. Do we desire communion with God? Or do we fear the intimacy and the results if we have this communion with God? I talked to my sister Bonnie this past week, and her life's been changed the last couple years. The Lord's really moved in her life. And we were talking, and her kids believe she's gone off the deep end, all right? And she's believing this Bible, which her daughter calls a book of myths, okay? And it's really kind of strange, because I love my niece and nephew, but they're really they're harsh with their mother about her faith, you know? And she was calling because they'd had a confrontation. I talked to her and I said, well, that's what Jesus promised us, okay? Mother's going to turn against daughter, father against son, you know, etc. That's what he promised us. He promised us the cross. And when you strive for communion with God, there's going to be people who don't want to have communion with you. And they can be family members. And they may think you're nuts, okay? But that's okay, all right? Because we're all nuts together, right? Alrighty? So that was so good, I'm going to tear the page out, okay? So we continue with the next verse 11. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Does that surprise anybody? No. You know, three guys visiting, you know. I just said, was anybody surprised? Okay. I mean, anybody. Okay. Even if my wife has three people over to the house, well, if the game's on, I probably wouldn't pay attention. You know? But you'd be curious as to who's here, right? Okay. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed. Not mockingly to God, but just in disbelief. She laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? She doesn't believe this can happen. Then the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh? And by the way, Lord here is Yahweh. So now we know one of the visitors is God, okay? And I believe it's the Son of a Man, Jesus, and many theologians do, okay? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? And I love this line, is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Is this promise that we see here, that the Lord, that God makes to Abraham, is it just for Abraham? No. It's for all of us. That's the good news, okay? Galatians 4:28. Now you, brothers like Isaac, are children of the promise. Acts 2. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. It's for all of us. Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:14. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. So it's the same blessing, right? Through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. in Galatians 3:29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So this promise goes beyond just the promise of Isaac, okay? It covers a lot of turf, okay? Matthew Henry writes, thus the promises of the Messiah were often repeated in the Old Testament for the strengthening of faith of God's people. We are slow of heart to believe and therefore have need of line upon line to the same message. This is that word of promise which the apostles quote as that by the virtue of which Isaac was born. The same blessings which others have from common providence, believers have from the promise, this promise, which makes them very sweet and very sure. The spiritual seed of Abraham owe their life and joy and hope and all to the promise. They are born by the word of God. So through the word and through Jesus Christ, the promise is ours. All right? This promise that was made to Abraham, we have that. We possess it. We have communion with God like Abraham had. And it's all because of this promise. We look at the next verse. Where am I at? Oh, I skipped, huh? Verse 13. I went a little too far, I think. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And will I really have a child now that I am? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Okay. Was Sarah being unreasonable when she laughed? According to the knowledge of the world? No. Okay. Everyone would say she had her rights, right? Matthew Henry, therefore, shut out from your heart and eyes the outward appearance and see what God has commanded. Do this and you will not go wrong, even if in outward appearance it is small, ordinary, and insignificant. Shut out from your heart and eyes the outward appearance. And when we do that today, people think we're crazy, right? But if you're looking into the kingdom of God, you're looking deeper, right? And you can see how God is working behind the scenes. And I'd encourage you all to do that, okay? Look for the kingdom of God. Look for the kingdom of God. And when we do, is anything impossible for God? No, nothing's impossible for God. I remember Lydia. Some of you may remember Lydia, who was a member of our church about, what, 4 years ago? Something like that. I don't know. Anyway, Lydia was diagnosed with a tumor on her chest, and it was like 2 inches wide, and it looked malignant. Okay, the tumor looked cancerous. So she went in, and the doctor had the nurse do a sonogram to check and see, you know, how big the tumor was and where it was located, because it was right there on the X-ray. Okay. 2 inches, so it's a big mass. And the nurse was getting ready to do the exam with the sonogram thing, and all of a sudden Lydia prayed to the Lord, and she had a young daughter, and she said, Lord, please don't let this be cancer. In the name of Jesus, I command that the cancer be gone. And she kept praying that. Well, the nurse started looking for the tumor. She couldn't find it, so she got her supervisor in, her nurse supervisor. Her nurse supervisor looked for the tumor, couldn't find it, okay? So she called in the doctor, and the doctor's looking at the X-ray, and he's looking for the tumor, and looks for the tumor. They spent 2 hours looking for the tumor. It was gone, all right? Praise God is right. Is anything impossible for God? No. And to this day, she's been cancer-free that I know of, okay? So thanks be to God. Human improbability, this is Matthew Henry again, human improbability often sets up in contradiction to the divine promises. So what God tells us is going to be opposed to the world. Is that true? Absolutely. Do we see that today? Our world and the Word of God is like this, right? All the time. The objections of sense are very apt to stumble and puzzle the weak in faith, even of true believers. Sarah could say, Lord, I believe, and yet must say, Lord, help my unbelief. And I think that's what we need to pray today when we're looking for the kingdom of God. Lord, help our unbelief. Send your Spirit and give me faith, Lord, that I can see what you see, okay, and hear what you hear. Okay, now I'm caught up. Verse 15. Sarah was afraid. I love this. So she lied and said, I didn't laugh. Reminds me of when I was a kid, you know, and you're caught. No, that didn't happen, you know. I know your daughters never did that, right, Hazel? No, never. Okay. We'll have a brief order of confession later. Okay. So. But he said, yes, you did laugh. Once again, Matthew Henry said, there was, withal, a sinful attempt to cover a sin with a lie. It is a shame to do amiss, but a greater shame to deny it. For thereby we add iniquity to our iniquity. Fear of a rebuke often betrays us into the snare. He that covers his sin cannot prosper, for the day is coming which will discover it. So do we attempt to cover our sin and lack of faith? Do we write off our sin because we are not that bad compared to other people? Don't we all have a little bit of Sarah in us? Martin Luther writes, to be sure, she thinks I am a barren old woman and is altogether impossible for me at this very advanced age to bear a child. But this thought is not so firmly fixed that it is not driven out by this thunderbolt. I love when Luther uses the word thunderbolt, okay, because this word strikes like a thunderbolt out of this whole text, okay? What is miraculous or impossible with God? Isn't that the center of the text, right? And it stands out apart from anything else in the text, okay? For he who created man of dust from the ground, could he not produce a natural offspring from the seed of the male and the female? Thus these words are spoken to strengthen Sarah's faith, in order that she may hear, realize, and know that these guests of hers are not merely human beings. So what is miraculous or impossible with God? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Is there any sin God will not forgive if we turn to Him? Is there any disease or addiction God cannot heal? Is there any situation God cannot correct? Is there any family God cannot make whole? No. I wrote this on like Monday or Tuesday, and then, as you know, baby Jesus passed away. 2.5 years, and he spent a year and a half of his short life fighting cancer. And what we have to remember with baby Jesus, we prayed for healing for this little boy, and the Lord has answered our prayers. Because death is the ultimate healing for Christians, right? It's nothing we fear, all right? And we know that baby Jesus is with Jesus in heaven right now and the angels, right? And for this little kid, I mean, over half of his life spent with tubes and needles and chemotherapy, and he had no idea what life was really about, right? So the final healing came to him this week, okay? And it's hard. It's hard for all of us and for the family. But once again, where are we looking? Are we going to look at it the way the world looks at it? Or are we going to look at the kingdom of God? In the kingdom of God, he's up there with the angels and with Jesus and having a great time, and we will see him again, right? Brothers and sisters, so today accept Jesus and live in Him. And live in the promise like baby Jesus did, okay? And all things will be possible for you. All things will be possible for you. Even conquering death is possible for us. Amen? Let us pray. Lord God, grant us eyes to see your kingdom, Lord. Grant us eyes to see Your power and Your glory. Grant us eyes to see that all things are possible for You. What the world calls miracles are just You doing Your thing, God. Grant us faith to believe this. We want holy communion with You, Lord. We want to live in a relationship with You. And if the world thinks we're crazy, so be it, Lord. We want to live with You and in You. Send Your Holy Spirit into our hearts now, Lord, so that we can see as You see. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.